You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hooray! Delicious Volume 1, Life Tastes Good, is finally at Amazon, United States. What is delicious, you ask? Imagine a land where all your favorite foods live as human girls. Here in charming a la carte, under the floating city of heavenly delight, we meet Ramen, a young cook trying to run a restaurant with her family of pastas as they end up in all sorts of wacky adventures and hijinks as these strong, eccentric characters pursue their dreams and passions. Delicious is a beautifully drawn comedy series which is now finally available to buy in the United States. Click on the banner on One of Us, order today, and join in the fun now because Delicious Volume 2, Yum Yum Yum, is coming really soon. A perfect gift for your child or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
How's it going there? I was gonna do like a how's it going there, maggots? Drop down, give me 30. Nah, see, I don't even like that either. Welcome to Screener Squad, everybody. I've got Bradley and Sarah Jane. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Sarah, was that intro not good enough? I disappointed you.
No, hey. Hi, howdy.
No, I'm sorry. That's real shitty. In the early 2000s, there was this really cool miniseries that came out called Band of Brothers, based on a book. And then, what was it, late 2000s, early 2010s, there was The Pacific, which was same idea. Didn't even explain Band of Brothers, but basically the book followed the 101st Airborne and from boot camp all the way to the liberation of Europe. I was never really a military geek growing up, but this was like my first foray into like really understanding or at least getting a more Hollywood perspective on World War II. And since then, I've just been like obsessed with World War II in general. I'm a fan of history, but Band of Brothers is really good. I never ended up seeing The Pacific, but after watching Masters of the Air, I feel like I'm going to go back and just kind of watch everything because I like this type of storytelling. But Masters of the Air, I don't know if they're officially calling it a trilogy, but it's a series of different takes and different perspectives on the war. And Masters of the Air follows the 100th, and they're in Eastern England. And basically, they fly across the channel and bomb shit. World War II had a lot of casualties, a lot of civilian casualties, military casualties. But by far, flying was probably one of the most dangerous things you could do, especially if you were a bomber pilot. These were the B-17 Flying Fortress. Mm-hmm. Basically, these were heavily fortified, you know, 10-person crew airplanes that had multiple guns and turrets, a pilot and a co-pilot. You had a bombardier, basically flying. And yeah, it's a fortress, but you can get picked off pretty easily if you're not paying attention or if your training wasn't that great or if you freak out, or you could be the best pilot in the world and you're still going to get shot down because that's just how this war was.
It starts off pretty, pretty bold, pretty like men of valor, patriots, stopping the Nazi threat. So I thought, oh, this is going to be kind of milquetoast, kind of like, oh, well, you know, wave the flag and salute the soldiers type of safety programming, which is fine. I think there's a place for that. You know, nothing wrong with feeling patriotic, especially about the America's Greatest Generation. But by episode 3, it does a 180 and dives a lot deeper than I thought it would into. So here's why these flying fortresses were like coffins just in the sky waiting to be brought into the dirt. And I was taken aback by the sudden seriousness and high stakes of being on one of these B-17s. There's a lot of great memoirs about these B-17s. I believe this is about the majority of it, at least, is from one of the featured characters in this. I think his nickname is Rosie. But even though so many of these beautiful actors look similar in uniform and in hat and in full, you know, garb up in the air, I was still very much feeling the anxiety and stress. And while I hope this individual makes it, not even knowing who they are, really, because the war starts quick and it doesn't stop these bomber sequences. And kudos to the showrunners on that, at least. Very, very horrifying situations shown with earnestness. No spectacle. This is all done incredibly respectfully. And I thought that definitely takes a lot to do as well, since war looks cool cinematically. And I'm just so impressed at the reverence and respect the filmmakers had for these horrific occurrences in the sky.
I didn't love this as much as Band of Brothers. I think I've only seen a few episodes of The Pacific, so I can't really judge that one yet. But I think Band of Brothers was better than this one. There was something about it that was just not hitting right with me, and I'm not sure what it was. I still can't really place exactly why it was that was bothering me. But, you know, the guys did look alike a lot of the times.
Yeah, a lot of white dudes.
With dark hair.
Yeah.
Like, two hardly of them have the same nickname as well.
Yeah, my God.
Yeah. But I will say, Austin Butler, I mean, he seems to be the man of the hour, I guess. But he was really good in this. And there's a point where you don't see him for a while. And you could feel it. It was like these episodes, you know, need some star power. And then you see him later and you're like, oh, thank God. But Barry Keoghan shows up for a little while. His accent might have been a little bit dodgy, but I thought he was great. I did feel like at one point they start, they bring in and showcase a little bit of the Tuskegee Airmen, but I felt that was almost shoehorned in there. And I'm like, if you're not going to give it
such an important part of the war too.
Yeah, I mean,
but that just like a very short episode.
Right. They barely touch on it. I mean, you do see them like in the last couple of episodes, but it just felt like they just forgot to mention it and decided, oh, we need to. But, you know, it just, if you're going to put them in, then they need to be in, not just this little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agree.
I would have argued then make the series longer.
You know, I will say that, I mean, I love World War II is like a great, I mean, I love history. I really like the Revolutionary War, but World War II is also really great. And I mean, I've seen a lot of films that are dealing with the boots on the ground in Europe. So although Band of Brothers is great and I got more respect for that, this movie really showcases just how insane those pilots had to, insanely brave they had to be, because every time they went up, literally, you know, they're had like a 90% chance of dying. Their equipment was not great. You know, the planes were pieces of shit, especially in it seemed like their outfit had the remnants of whatever was around. Plus those I'll call them boats, they were like really slow. So that was why it was easy to pick them off. And so they had to fly in a huge formation so that they could kind of take care of each other. But if you had any kind of any kind of problem with your plane, you were a sitting duck and you were going to die, you know?
I mean, they were bombers, but part of what they were supposed to do was to take flak and to take the major hits so the smaller fighters wouldn't get picked off. So they would fly lower a lot of times.
And during the daytime, which was unheard of until...
I like how there was a little back and forth between the Brits and the Yanks on, well, hey, we bomb during the day and we at least pick hopefully non-civilian targets where you guys are just doing indiscriminate bombing, which, you know, ends up kicking their ass when England bombs Dresden. But Bucky gets R&R before a major thing happens, and he eventually gets shot down. But there's this like really weird moment when he's in London after there was a night of bombings from the Blitzkrieg. You know, there's people pulling bodies of children out of their homes, and they're trying to, like, you know, keep calm and carry on, keep moving, right? And when he eventually gets caught by the Germans later on, he's going through a town that just had the same thing where the Americans just came in and bombed everything. Mm-hmm. And it was literally the same scene. And it was, you know, very powerful. And war films are a type of propaganda no matter what. But I appreciate propaganda that at least attempts to be realistic about how horrible war is. Mm-hmm. For both sides. Even though Nazis fucking suck, there are people on that side. I think it's hard because Saving Private Ryan, I feel like, was the catalyst to all these shows, mm-hmm. these miniseries.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what Band of Brothers was. It was like a miniseries of Saving Private Ryan. It was the same people, you know, Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, like, we got everybody back and we're going to do this because we made a shit ton of money. but it ended up being pretty good. Part of me was weirded out that they're, you know, bringing out like another part in this series. But at the same time, I don't know. World War II has so many different stories. There's no way Hollywood can make a movie about every one of them, you know?
I do feel it doesn't pull any punches. At least we see a lot of punches that are kind of unheard of. Like, oh, we can't go up in this. It's not very shipshape. Don't worry, we'll get as shipshape as possible, and it'll be able to get off the ground. I'm like, wow, they're really going there. Because these are very, very truthful if you read the memoirs. And if I mentioned him earlier, apologies if I got the name wrong. It is Major Harry Crosby, whose memoir this is based on, A Wing and a Prayer, aptly named. And he is one of the main actors in this, or an actress portraying him. A lot of this series, I think where it shines is inside the plane. A lot of the flight sequences and planes in the air, unless they're crashing, look kind of bad. Look a little janky. What do you all think of that? Yeah. The sets, amazing. The CGI, not great.
It's fine. Like, and I think what it was is because they tried to show these grand wide shots. Like, I felt like the mediums and close-ups of like an external shot of a plane was a little bit better, and probably some of them were more practical. But those wider shots where it's like, okay, you guys went to a location, you shot the airport as a plate, and now you're just adding the planes in, which 20 years ago I could have accepted like this sort of looking CGI. But I was disappointed with a lot of that non-dogfight external stuff. But you're right, like most of the emotion and the action and the reason why we can be scared for frightened white guy soldier number 34 is because of those moments in the plane. Like they're all happy go lucky, even maybe up until right before they get up. But once they're up, like it settles in and they make a point to really hammer home like going up there as a rookie. And not doing it the first time and not telling you what it's really like, because it's just too hard to explain. You have to experience it for yourself. Created a good moment of tension between two friends of like, dude, you know, why didn't you tell me how fucked up it was up there? You wouldn't have believed me, or you know,
wouldn't have went.
Yeah, you wouldn't have went.
Right.
Spoiler alerts. We won the war, but I don't want to spoil, you know, the whole thing, but it very good, interesting take. Again, I like the setup and the way they shoot it and stuff. Some flaws, and also I think a nostalgia factor for Band of Brothers. I don't think that'll always be top tier to me. So yeah, I'll give it 7 out of 10 flat cannons.
I mean, I guess it's unfair to everything else that comes after it, from Tom Hanks, to compare it to Band of Brothers, because nothing is going to top that. I mean, hell, even what's his name? Marky Mark's brother, Wahlberg.
Oh, Donnie Wahlberg was in that.
Wahlberg. I saw his name in the credits and I'm like, oh my God. But he was so great. He was amazing in that. So props to you, Donnie. I'm sorry I ever slagged you off. Anyway, back to this one. You know, it started off as supposed to be a Crosley story, but then it kind of, and you should introduce other people, but I don't know. The way they told this one was really weird to me. Like, they would leave him and not even talk about him for a while. And then, you know, he had an affair with some spy, but then that kind of just disappeared also. I don't know. There was some issues with this one. The actor that, and I guess we haven't really talked about him that much, but the guy who played Bucky, I thought was really great. And I'm sorry, I don't have your
Callum
name for
Turner.
Me. Yes, he surprisingly, because at first I'm like, oh God, it's this character. But excuse me, but he was really good. And he and Buck's relationship was really good. It was like Buck was the anchor to try to keep Bucky from, like, you know, flying off the handle, literally, because that guy was a cannon, man. So there were some things I really liked about it. There were some things, like you said, the CGI. I don't know if the story was necessarily there and it didn't seem focused. I don't know. But it is worth a watch. I'm going to give it 7.5 times that Austin Butler gave me that dreamy look. He's got the most amazing lips of anyone in Hollywood right now. Out of 10. Sorry, he's a beautiful
first.
Man.
Even as a Harkonnen, though?
Yes.
Okay, back to this. An incredible performance. Incredible 2 years so far for Austin Butler. In this, yeah, he's a very beautiful man. I like his drawl. Doesn't quite sound like Elvis anymore, so that's cool. Kind of a surprise twist with his character, which is weird to say because these are real life human beings that lived, and you could look up their lives anytime you want while watching the show, so this is a hard one for the internet to keep secret. The narrative, I agree, was kind of bizarre. I got into this because of the bombing missions, and a lot of this show suddenly becomes, what was it like in the POW camps? What was it like in training when they didn't have enough time to train? What was it like in the bars after the missions? And my trifling self would be like, can we get back in the air, please? But I think where it succeeds the most is the sets of the planes, the looks of the planes, when they're in the planes and when the planes are on the ground. Beautiful, gorgeously done, very respectful. I do really enjoy the camaraderie, and it works even if you don't remember these characters' names. There are so many memoirs of pilots refusing to leave injured men on their plane, even if their plane was going down. There are a couple of scenes where that hits home, and where instead of that feeling of what a brave man, you're like, oh no, this is a horribly heroic but terrible thing that I'm witnessing. And wow, can we end wars, please? And that's usually my come away from any memoir. Some great reading for you, listener. They do get into the Catch-22 situation. Joseph Heller's book, Catch-22, great companion piece to this. Also, if you've heard of the Charlie Brown and Franz Stiegler incident of the bombers, that's an incredible story. I encourage you to look into this. And I'm also going to give this one 7.5 out of 10. Very unsatisfying European sex scenes.
Yeah, I whenever I sign up for these things, I never really check too much into the trailers because I don't want too much given away. So all I saw was World War II and airplanes. I'm like, yes. My great grandpa, yeah. He flew P-51 Mustangs in the war. Wow. So yeah. In Europe. So
turning the tide.
I think we just lost the last surviving vet that survived Pearl Harbor on the Arizona. He mm-hmm. died a couple days ago. So I don't know. Like, the older we get, the further, like, you know, because we heard these stories of, you know, our great grandparents and our grandparents. And now it's getting to the point where they're all going to be gone and all we're going to have left are their memoirs. So. But yeah, as Bradley said, war's stupid.